Evangelist John Neal last week and did a great job. But 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago now, I guess, we talked about studying the Bible. We gave an introductory lesson. I told you we were going to give you a very good and effective, a very simple way that you can study the Bible. I call this a lot of times when I teach this a layman's guide to studying the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. For this, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The reason I read all down is I believe that these two men, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who were teaching false doctrine, were doing so because they did not do what was commanded in verse number 15. Let me give you something that's important. Most false teachings, most false doctrine that is being taught and being bantered about is being based on some portion of God's Word that's being either taken out of context or someone has not done a thorough study of the subject. Let me encourage you. Here's something that I decided a long time ago. You might want to wait and be careful to be emphatic about a whole lot about the Word of God if you're not willing to take the time and study it thoroughly. I don't mean you read a book once. I don't mean you heard a sermon once. I don't mean you found one verse. I mean if you haven't from cover to cover seen all that God says about a subject, studied it, I would be hesitant to get up and say a whole lot. I'd be hesitant to chime in with my opinions. Amen. We've got to be careful. If you're not careful, you can just read one book, one article, hear some portion of something on a radio, and somebody use a verse, and next thing you know, you're convinced that that must be right, and there's qualifying portions of Scripture that would shed more light on that subject. And let me just break this verse down for you, and then I'm going to give you some nuts and bolts of some things to do. Verse number 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." See, we don't study to impress men. We study so that we can stand approved of God. I have to do a lot of studying in order to preach. I study a lot of things in preparation of a sermon that never make it into a sermon. Does that make sense to you? Because I've got to make sure, I need to make sure that I'm going to rightly divide the Word of God. It takes a lot of time. If I'm going to get up and be emphatic about something, I better make sure the Bible's emphatic about it. And so we study to show ourselves approved unto God. See, I'm going to be held accountable to God one of these days for what I preach from the pulpit. These Sunday school teachers, I remind them from time to time, this isn't a game. I mean, if you aren't going to take the time to study and be ready and stand up before those young people properly prepared, then you know, what you ought to do is arrange your schedule so that you can. But if you're not going to do it, then let me know. I won't be mad at you, but I got to have somebody holding the Bible and handling the Bible that takes it seriously. Because one of these days, we're going to stand before God and answer for preaching and our teaching and to make sure that we rightly divided the Word of God. Let's go on and look at that. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. I believe that's not talking. I think it's talking about perhaps here on earth, because I think that sometimes we can study something and teach something, think we've studied it. And I remember early in my ministry, as a young preacher, there was times that I preached messages. And it was more based on hearsay, other men's teachings and preachings, than it was a thorough study. I'm just being transparent with you. I remember one time I preached on a subject, and afterwards I had an older preacher come to me. He wasn't mean to me. He wasn't unkind to me. but he had jotted down some scriptures and said, that was a really good message, but there was a point in there. I really think you ought to probably look at these verses before you preach that again. And you know what I found out? That he had spent more time studying. There were some qualifying verses that I missed, and part of what I taught wasn't accurate. And so that taught me a great lesson. Again, he was kind to me. And you know what? You ought to be with especially young men in the ministry and people that are starting out. But we also ought to understand that one of these days we're going to stand before the Lord. And matter of fact, when Paul charges Timothy concerning preaching the word in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. And so Paul was basically reminding them, Timothy, listen, one of these days you're going to stand before the Lord. And so you better make sure you're preaching the word. Notice he didn't say preach your opinion. He didn't say preach what you heard somebody else say. He said preach the word. And so we need to be careful that we rightly divide the word of God, that we spend time studying the Bible. Now, of course, that's what the generosity of God's people allows me to do. I have more time to do that. That's good. That's great. I don't expect you to study the Bible as much as I do. Honestly, I don't expect you to study the Bible as much as I do. You have worked out into the secular field. You're not going to have the time that I have. And so what I want to give you, though, is a simple little formula, simple guideline to help you to begin to study the Bible. Because I still believe this. Even though you may not have the time I do, I believe that every Christian ought to spend some time every day studying the Bible. Now, I mentioned this last 3 weeks ago, but if you are regularly faithfully, if you've gotten to the point where you're regularly faithfully reading the Bible every day, and I think that's the first step. Just read the Bible every day. Just take time. One of the things that I tell folks is this. If you would take the average Bible, and I know different Bibles are as far as how many chapters and how small the print is and how many pages are in it, but if you just pick up your average Bible and you decide, I'm going to read 4 pages a day or 5 pages a day, either one of those will probably get it. 4 pages a day in most Bibles will cause you to read through the entire... I didn't say 4 chapters, I said 4 pages. 4 pages of the Bible. And I'm talking about this side, that side, this side, that side. If you did that much every day, you would read through the entire Bible in a year. By the way, that takes the average reader, you don't have to be a super speed reader, that takes the average reader less than 10 minutes a day. And so people say, well, I don't have time to read the Bible. I couldn't read through the Bible an entire year. Yes, we can. Matter of fact, we're commanded to read the Bible. We're going to stand before God and answer for our neglect of not reading the Bible less than 10 minutes a day. I read, and of course I do study and things, most every day. But every morning after I get up and make the coffee and feed the dogs, I sit down and I get a cup of coffee and I read 5 pages of the Bible. That's the first thing I do every morning. Then I finish getting ready. I come on in. If you'll do that, when I read 5 pages of my Schofield Bible, it allows me to read through the entire Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, and through the New Testament a second time. And then I start over again. I do that every year and have for some time. Now, if you'll do that, let me tell you something. You'll be blessed. And just reading the Bible's good. I mean, just read it. But for some of you that have been saved, and you know, you say, Brother Jerry, I've gotten this down pretty well. I'm reading the Bible every day. You can do it honestly. I mean, less than 10 minutes. If you would take an additional 10 minutes besides that, you can study a little bit of the Word of God every day. And honestly, we're talking about less than a half hour total time, 20 minutes total time. And that's just a matter of getting up a little bit earlier. That's a matter of organizing your morning a little more carefully, being a better steward of your time. But don't leave the house without having spent some time in the Word of God. Now, studying is important, studying the Bible. So let's get into it. Let me just say this. Based on 2 Timothy, we're back there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Based on that, I believe the Bible clearly commands every Christian to study the Bible, not to just read it, but study it. And I'm going to give you some simple steps to help you in studying the Bible. Now, first of all, let me say this. If you're not saved and you never received Christ as your Savior, the one thing you're going to find out is that you're going to get frustrated real quickly in trying to read and understand the Bible. And that's just the way it is. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Now, let me tell you why that's true. The Bible is a spiritual book. When a person gets saved, the Bible says they are reborn. Our spirit died in the Garden of Eden. God said to Adam and Eve, in the day that thou eatest of the fruit, thou shalt surely die. Well, they ate the fruit, and guess what? Their body didn't kill over dead, so they didn't die physically. Their soul didn't die because it was still in their body. It didn't leave their body. So what died? Man is a triune being. The spirit of man died. That's the part that communicates with God. That's the part that God's spirit communicates with. Now, that's why in John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit, small s. Now, when someone gets saved, the Holy Spirit, when I say get saved, what I mean by that is come to the point in time where they realize that they're a sinner, come under conviction of sin, understand the gospel. Somebody shares the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for their sins, was buried and rose again. A person says, wow, Jesus paid for my sins. He died for my sins. Yes, and he offers the gift of eternal life. If a person is willing to humble their heart, confess the fact that they are a sinner and call upon Christ and ask him to save them, being saved is not complicated, but a lot of things happen when we get saved that, well, you spend a whole lifetime studying about, finding out. One of those things is that part of the triune God, the Holy Spirit of God, comes inside of us, and that which is born of spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. That which is born of spirit is spirit, small s, is the Holy Spirit regenerates your spirit, brings it back to life. Now you have a spiritual part of you that can communicate with God, because God communicates with the Spirit. They that worship me must worship me in spirit, small s, and in truth. So the Spirit is the only part of us that can interact with God. Without our spirit being reborn, we can't interact with God. Without our spirit being reborn, we can't understand a spiritual book. Because this book, let me say this, even though you have to certainly use your mind, it doesn't appeal to the mind. Even though, you know, your physical eyes have to be used to look at it, it doesn't appeal to the flesh. So someone that's not born again picks it up, and you'll hear statements like, well, I just never could understand it. I tried to read it, and I just never could understand it. And even after you're saved, I know that it takes time, but it's amazing the difference before you're saved and you've tried to read the Bible, and after you're saved, even if in the very beginning, how much of it all of a sudden begins to make sense. Now, why is that? Let me give you a point number one, and we'll give you 10 things, and I won't get them all done today. But let me give you point number one. Before you start trying to study the Bible, you should always enlist the help of your tutor. Enlist the help of your tutor. Now, this is one of the most important things that I'm going to teach you to do. And if you'll do this, just takes a minute, really a moment of time. But if you do this, you'll be surprised at how much of the Bible you understand. What do you mean by enlist the help of a tutor? Now that you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwells you. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, the tutor, there's a lot of reasons that the Holy Spirit indwells us. He seals us into the day of redemption, and He also intercedes with us and for us to the Father. He's called the Comforter, which means when we go through heartbreaking things, it's the Holy Spirit's job to minister and heal and help. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now, you've been through tragedies, you look back and think, how did I get through that? And you know that God carried you through it. I mean, He just did. And so thank God for all of these things. But one of the things we find out the Bible teaches us that is the job of the Holy Spirit is that He enlightens us and helps us to understand the Bible. So a very simple exercise that you might want to do before you begin to study the Bible is that you ought to talk to the Holy Spirit of God. You ought to ask Him to help you to understand the Bible. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He's a person. He's a member of the triune God. And he's that part of the triune God that lives inside of us. So when I open the Bible, and by the way, very interesting. Now, I've written some books. Okay? I've written some books. And I was recently preaching at a church, and a guy had a copy of my book, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Man, I'm so glad that you're coming to our church." And he opened, pulled that book out. And he said, "There's a part of this I was going to ask you about." Now, what was exciting is that I was able, as the author of that book, to explain to that guy what that portion meant. And who's better qualified? Excuse me, if you wrote it, you probably know better than anybody else what you meant by it. Well, isn't it interesting that when we study where the Bible came from, "Oh, Brother Jerry, the Bible's just a book written by a bunch of men." The Bible says those men were holy men of old, and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, which means that the Holy Spirit of God literally came upon them, and that word means carried or controlled, and the Holy Spirit dictated to these men exactly what to write. So listen to me, don't miss this. Men did not author the Bible. They wrote the words, but they were given the words by the author. And the Bible says, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God was the one who delivered the words of God to men and instructed them in writing them down. Now, that same Holy Spirit now lives inside of me. How neat's that? So the part of God that was used to give men the Bible now lives inside of me. So when I am studying the Bible, I can ask the author of the Bible, amen, because the Holy Spirit's part of the triune God, what did you mean by that? Now, that means that, let me just make it very practical. That means that what we want to do before we start studying the Bible, this is something I try to do every single time before I open it up, I just bow my head real quick and say, "Holy Spirit of God, this is a spiritual book, it's a divine book, it's a God book, and I can't, my natural man can't understand it. Lord, even my limited mind, and Lord, even sometimes the weakness of my spirit. So, Holy Spirit, I don't want this to try to be an intellectual exercise where I try to figure this thing out. I need your spirit to communicate with my spirit. Teach me the Bible. As I try to study it, teach me and lead me into all truth." Now, that may seem like a small thing, but that's a huge, huge element into helping you successfully study the Bible. Man, it's great. It's great. My senior year, when I was here at Let's Hope Baptist School, I wanted to take, I loved math. I loved math. I was one of those oddballs. How many of you really like math in school? Okay. How many of you like English in school? Yeah, okay. Now, I know this is, you know, I don't want to make anybody mad, but mostly women raise their hand that they liked English, and mostly men raise their hand that they liked math. And, of course, I've got a very simple explanation for that, and I think it's right and true and biblical. You see, math, 1 plus 1 equals 1. And that's how men think. You know, 1 plus 1 is 1. We just want one answer. But in English, it's I before E except. And see, women, they always want exceptions. You know, we just want, okay, let's just pass this rule and let's just do it this way. Well, that's fine, except, no, I don't want an except. Anyway, now I've got everybody mad at me, but, logic versus illogic, amen? So, now I really got some of you mad at me. But, where was I? Math. I was taking math. I wanted to take some upper math. At that time, the supervisor in our school was a good man and a smart man, but he wasn't a strong math guy. And I wanted to take pre-calculus. And he just looked at me and said, "Jerry, you want to take pre-calculus? Go ahead and take it. But I'm telling you right now, I'll order it for you, I'll give it to you, but you're on your own." And so I decided I was going to teach myself pre-calculus, you know. So actually, they ordered it was ACE. It was the AC School Tomorrow material, but it was their pre-college courses they offer. So they ordered that in, and I took pre-calculus. But I'm going to tell you something I learned real quickly. Trying to teach yourself something you don't know is very difficult. You know, I wasn't a good teacher because I was trying to be the student. So at that time, what I do is, of course, based on things I've already learned, I was able to sort some of it out. But every once in a while, I'd get to a place and I'd just get stuck. And so I'd call up Chris Mowry. And there was several times during that year that I'd drive down to the Mowry's, or Chris would come up here and meet me, and he'd sit down with me because he knew calculus. And he was good at it. He was strong in it. And I'd say, "I think I'm not getting this. I'm stuck on a couple of things. I understand this, this, and this, but right here, they lost me." And he'd say, "Well, let me explain it to you." And he'd explain it to me, and he'd give me some examples, and boom, the light would come on, and oh, yeah, I get that. Okay, go away. And so I'd get rid of him, you know, and then, but not for very long. I'd be calling him again pretty soon. Hey, I need help on this again. Listen, folks, you and me don't make good teachers to ourselves. We can't teach ourselves something we don't know. But the Holy Spirit of God knows it all. And let me just say this. I think it's a waste of time to try. See, this is what's the problem with so many folks that want to teach the Bible. Why, Brother Gary, is it so important to be spiritually strong, to be spiritually right with God if you're going to teach the Bible? Because, listen, if you are spiritually weak, then your understanding is going to be weak. And if you need to be in tune. Listen, if I spend all week long grieving the Holy Spirit of God, then all of a sudden I come to Him and say, now I need your help studying the Bible. I got to get a sermon ready. You think He's going to be all that excited about it? And so it's not a game. One of the things about studying the Bible, one of the things it'll challenge you to do in your personal life, is you'll find out that it's a lot easier to understand the Bible when you're right with God. If you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God or quenching the Holy Spirit of God's working in some area of your life, or you're living in open sin, and then you say, well, I'm going to study the Bible. Well, you know, let me just say, good luck with that. But I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit. Well, I know. You have Him. Does He have you? And see, folks, that's why, let me just make it real simple. That's why if the Holy Spirit, at the end of the message this morning, touches your heart as a Christian, says you need to go forward and take care of this, and you say, I don't know, people might think weird of me, or I don't want to do that, and you disobey the Holy Spirit's prompting, that's grieving Him. You see? And then later on, you want him to do something. You want Him to communicate something else to you. What I'm saying is this. Keep a good relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Because if you don't, I promise you this is true. You don't have to shake your head. You don't have to admit it. But if you are living a life that is grievous to the Holy Spirit of God, you probably have a great amount of difficulty reading your Bible every day. You know why? Because it doesn't make much sense. You know why? Because you've kicked off the tutor. You know, if you're going to understand the Bible, then God's given you a part of the triune God to live inside of you. And if you want Him to help you, best thing to do is stay right with Him. Okay, so enlist the help of a tutor. Number two, let me give you this, because this will help you. I'm going to give you something very practical here. We're not going to get a whole lot done, but what we'll get done will be helpful, I think. After you enlist the help of a tutor, number two, spend time gathering knowledge. Spend time gathering knowledge. Now, let me just give you what I think is a great way to study the Bible. I'm going to teach you and challenge you to study the Bible topically. Let me say this. I preach both topical messages and also sometimes I will preach in the context of Scripture. I know folks that, what are they, expository? That's what I'm looking for, expository messages. I know guys that are absolutely adamant against topical preaching of the Bible. They say if it's not expository preaching, it's not preaching, and I don't believe that. For one thing, they say, well, you know, and I do understand their concerns. I do understand their concerns. You've got to be careful just reaching in and getting a portion of Scripture or getting a Scripture on a related subject and not viewing it in the context that it's written. But let me just say this. You say, well, Brother Gary, but you've got to study it in the context. Well, can I share this with you? You know, in our minds, this book is divided into books and chapters, but if you stick a pin in Genesis, Revelation's going to howl, because this thing is a living book. And the same Holy Spirit that gave, let's just take a subject. Let me just give you a very easy subject. Let's say you were going to do a word study or a topical study on the fear of the Lord. Boy, you know what? That would be a great first study. If you've never studied anything, why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs teaches us that. So that would probably, if someone just told me, say, I've never really done a topical study ever before in the Bible, what should I start? I'd say, start with the fear of the Lord. Now, well, how do I do that? Well, what I would do is I would go to a concordance. Now, some of you know what this is and some of you don't. Oh, no, Brother Jerry, a book. Yeah, books. Amen. If I was stranded on a desert island for a year and you say, Brother Jerry, you can only have two books, I'd want a King James Bible and a Strong's Concordance. Most of my study, most of my sermon preparation, most of my study is done with two books, a concordance and a King James Bible. And those two will help you. Now, if you don't have a concordance, let me encourage you to get one if you're going to study the Bible. What is a concordance? Well, it's kind of like a dictionary, only instead of you looking up the words, by the way, it's set up like a dictionary as far as alphabetical order, A, B, C, D, all that. When you look up a word, you're not going to find a definition. What you're going to find is a listing of every place in the Bible that that word is found. So if I was going to study the fear of the Lord or the fear of God, I would look up the word fear. I'd scan down. It's going to give a little piece of that scripture. So you'll be able to see whether that word fear is by itself or it says the fear of the Lord. I'd jot down every place in the Bible where that is found. And then you say, I can't wait to do that. How many verses will it be? A lot. A lot. Yeah, it really will be. And a lot. Yes, a lot. And I wouldn't say a whole lot about the fear of the Lord if you haven't studied everything the Bible says about it. You have to spend some time gathering the information, gathering knowledge. Now, let me say this to these people that are expository only, you know, context maniacs. What I said is this. The same Holy Spirit that put the phrase fear of the Lord in Genesis also put it in Revelation. And you know what? He's tied them all together. Okay, John didn't have to go back and check what Moses wrote about the fear of the Lord to make sure he got it right when he was writing in Revelation. You know why? Because the same Holy Spirit that gave the words to Moses also gave the words to John as he was finishing up these scriptures. And so I am for context, and I'm for viewing everything you look at in its context. But I'm not an expository-only preacher. You know what I think? People like that, they don't believe in inspiration. Now, they say they do, but they listen, God put this book together. And I'll even go a step farther and show you something that's interesting now that I've shut my Bible. And you can go to any Christian bookstore, even the ones that I say aren't Christian. Be careful of that. You know, it bothers me when you go into a quote-unquote Christian bookstore and there's hip-hop music playing. You know, excuse me, not everything that says Christian is. But make sure that you get a concordance. That is, if you're going to use the King James Bible, which you ought to, King James Bible, then you ought to make sure your concordance that you buy matches the King James. You see, when they started messing around with the Scripture, they had to make new concordance, because if you're changing words, then you've got to change the concordance. I think it'd been better if they just left the whole thing alone, you know. Well, I don't understand the King James Bible. I think I already talked about that. Why don't you understand it? Oh, because that word thou, well, let me help you. Thou means you. Any other questions? King James Bible is written on an 8th grade reading level. Instead of dumbing it down, we need to smarten up. Bible doesn't say rewrite the Bible to make it kindergarten simple. Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. So we're not supposed to mess with the Bible. We're supposed to let it elevate us, not us tear it down so that we can supposedly, quote, understand it. I'm not going to get into the whole teaching of that. But anytime you start reaching into the Bible and you say, well, this, it means the same thing. Somebody took liberties and said, well, I'm just going to change it and make it easier to understand. So they're taking Bible words and they're changing those words. But many times they haven't done a thorough study of that word, and that word that they're using is not the same thing. Here's a profound statement. Things that are different are not the same. Things that are different are not the same. God's promise that He would give us an inspired Bible. He promised to preserve the words of that Bible. He has, I believe, for the English-speaking people, in the King James Version of the Bible, I think it's the preserved words of God. And if you don't understand that whole thing, trust your preacher enough to say, you know what, I'm going to get me a King James Bible. I'm going to study it, okay? Get a concordance. Cost you about $10, $15. Be the best tool you ever get as far as a help to help you to study the Bible. Now, you all of a sudden can, and you do have a resource. Well, you don't have to start reading in Genesis 1:1 and say, okay, I'm going to read through the entire Bible, and every time there's the phrase, fear of the Lord, I'll underline it. No, you've got a way to go, and they'll show you every place it is. Now, let me show you one more thing, and then we've got to dismiss here. I've got a few minutes. We're good on time. But 2 Timothy, are you still there? 2 Timothy. And I use this, and I try to help some of our folks that are expository-only people. But notice this. It says this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Notice this. Rightly dividing the word of truth. I want you to look up that word dividing. It's going to scare you. It's going to shock you. That has the meaning of to cut out. And I believe that before you make up your mind, what do you believe about heaven? What do you believe about hell? What do you believe about grace? Well, let me just say this. What that Bible's saying is gather everything that the Bible has to say. Start in Genesis, go to Revelation, take every part of the Bible that speaks of grace or speaks of the fear of the Lord or speaks of heaven. Sorry, cut it out and lay every one of them in front of you on a huge table and look at everything the Bible says about a subject before you start drawing any conclusions. And again, so much false doctrine comes from a less than thorough study of everything that the Bible has to say about a subject. Most people that say, well, I don't believe in this doctrine, I believe in this doctrine, they want to snatch verses out of context, a handful, and they won't look at all that the Bible says about a subject and let the Bible clearly speak on it and make sure that they look at all qualifying scriptures on it. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm going to just say something. Us Baptist people are bad at that, too. Why do you believe what you do? Well, Brother Jerry, I believe what I do because I'm a Baptist. Well, that's a sorry reason for believing what you believe. I don't believe a doctrine because it's a Baptist doctrine. I believe it if it's a Bible doctrine. If it's a Bible doctrine, I believe it. If it's not, I don't believe it. If all the Baptists in the world believe it and it's not a Baptist Bible doctrine, then I still don't believe it. And I'm a Baptist. You know why? Because I'm not. What I want to do is get what I get and believe what I believe based on the Scripture, not based on some denominational teaching or a list of tenets that a denomination produces. And we, even in our Baptist circles, have some Baptist sacred cows that we say and some things we say and some things and they're not biblical. Now, I'll just say this. The reason I'm a Baptist, I feel like we've got fewer than anybody else. But if you think we're perfect, we're not. And I'm not asking you to give up anything. I'm asking you to test it out. I'm asking you to convince yourself that you believe something based on Scripture, not just based on, well, you went to a certain Bible college and they taught you this. Well, good for you. Now, you better get into the Word of God before you ever teach that. And you better make sure that's what the Bible says, because you're going to be held responsible to God one of these days for what is taught. Number one, enlist the help of a tutor. Number two, we'll end here. Spend time gathering knowledge. This takes time and this is work. Don't take shortcuts. Gather all the Bible says on a subject before dividing this information and drawing conclusions. To do less is to risk being inaccurate in your interpretation and your beliefs. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you guide us. Help us, Lord, as we learn to study the Bible. Help us understand the commitment it takes, the work it takes. It's a labor, but it's a labor of love. Thank you that we don't have to go at it alone. Thank you for the Spirit of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.